Hello and welcome back to the Not So Fit Couple podcast with your hosts, Lucy Davis
and Benjamin Halden.
So today's podcast is all about the relationship between obesity and COVID-19. Now, this sparked conversation and the idea of a podcast because yesterday on my Instagram, I decided to, I guess, talk about the elephant in the room, which is the relationship between obesity, type 2 diabetes and COVID-19, which we personally don't think has been spoke enough about within the government and with what's going on at the moment.
Yeah, so we were debating doing this one for a little while, weren't we, in regards to the topic, and I think it's something that has been massively ignored, and it's something that Lucy put up on a story yesterday and had a lot of feedback from and had a lot of questions about. So we thought, why not bang out a podcast on it, put a bit of content out there and help raise the awareness. But just before we actually dive into today's topic, how long has it taken us to do the setup for the podcast today?
Oh my gosh. So we have new mics, new spit filters, a Focusrite thing. It honestly looks like I don't even know, but it is crazy. So we wanted to do this setup as well, and we obviously wanted to improve the podcast for you guys so you get a better listening experience.
We went third in the fitness chart last week, so we had to step up our game a little bit this week with the quality. So hopefully my voice sounds a little bit more angelic than usual today,
as I hope mine does as well. So yeah, yesterday on my story I actually put up some statistics about obesity where it basically just states that an estimate of 30% of UK adults are obese. Now the root cause is often complicated, and we also want to say we are not experts in like being politicians or COVID-19 experts or obesity experts. We obviously are coaches, we understand, and we just want to give our opinion. And we also think it's kind of our right to do this as people who are on Instagram, who have a platform to share this sort of information, hence what stemmed me to share it yesterday. As Ben said, the feedback was absolutely insane. We'll probably go through some of those later of what people were saying. But just to give you a little bit of a background in terms of why is obesity a risk factor for severe COVID-19? Now, this is coming from research. A lot of the things we do have to say today is coming from research and evidence.
It's very early research.
Very early research. There's not actually a lot on the topic, no. So much like anything pertaining to the novel coronavirus is complex, which we all know anyway, it is a very complex situation. Being obese puts increased metabolic demand on your body. More energy and oxygen is required. And this is by Dr. Saleya. If the oxygen levels decline because of impaired lung function from COVID-19 infection, then an obese person's major organs will be less able to cope. Secondly, Professor Sattar elaborates, when you develop the infection, some people take a severe immune hit. If you're obese, you already can't pump as much oxygen into your lungs. Your heart function is also often less efficient, further impairing delivery of oxygen to your tissue. So we wanted to say that kind of outright because they are the basic factors in terms of if you are an obese person, there is a higher risk factor that hasn't been taken into consideration or shared with people.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of stats on today's podcast which will raise the alarm for some people, but our intention is not just to scaremonger people or
fat shame, because it's
not fat shame. It's to help raise the awareness that we massively believe that the government are letting people down on when it comes to obviously saving lives and protecting the NHS. So amongst everything that's going on with COVID-19, there is obviously a direct correlation with the disease and with obesity. Now, as you mentioned, we are not fat shaming or calling people out or making people feel bad, because we both agree and we all know that self-love and body confidence brigade will be all over this like flies on shit. But in regards to that community of self-love, we obviously believe it's massively important to obviously self-love your own body, and that's part of the journey of losing weight. If you're not in a happy place, you're not going to be able to fulfill something, and you're not going to be able to reach whatever your goal is. So we do understand that for some people it may be a little bit of a harsh reality, but some people need a bit of a kick up the arse. But let me tell you something really powerful. You can't self-love if you are dead.
Very powerful.
Indeed. So I think it's important to realise as well, and something that we often beat around the bush with, is that obesity is a disease in itself. And the complications of that are that it's directly correlated to diabetes, can be correlated to cancer, and it has complications when it comes...
This is also just a note, this is diabetes type 2. Type 1 is an autoimmune disease, and it's something you're born with, but type 2 can actually be prevented. And a lot of people who get type 2 diabetes is because they were obese.
Mm-hmm. And in the very early stages, when we were into this whole pandemic and went into lockdown, isolation, at the very start, this is obviously taken data from a couple of weeks back, but 16% of ICU admissions were due to people who were severely obese. And we're not saying that you're more likely to contract the virus because you're obese, but if you were to catch the virus, you are at a much higher risk of death.
Yeah, and what's important, what me and Ben actually spoke about and what we really wanted to get across in this podcast is with obesity, you can be obese and fit. So you could be obese, but you could go for runs. You could be a really fit person. You could be a power lifter. You could be, I don't know, a bodybuilder, or what. You could be a very, very fit person. But on the scale, obviously BMI isn't that accurate. It's very, I think I'm classed as overweight on BMI. I'm not even too sure, because it's very inaccurate. But the point is, if you are obese and classed as morbidly obese, you are also unhealthy. And we do know that some people have genetic difficulties. So maybe they have thyroid issues, they have issues with their leptin and ghrelin, so their hunger hormones, and they do find it hard to lose the weight. We completely understand that, and we're not kind of just pinpointing that, and we're not disrespecting any single person, are we?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think Lucy had a couple of DMs yesterday off the back of this story in regards to, well, some people's obesity problems are genetic. Yeah, we understand that a small proportion of people's are to do with genetics, like the monogenic causes, is it the syndromatic causes, like Lucy just talked about, which amplifies some weight gain within people, thyroid problems, metabolic issues. But it's still a lifestyle choice. And for me, if there's been a person in the world who has the worst genetic makeup, which kind of creates this disease of obesity, or the obese because of a genetic reason, and they are still able to lose weight, then so are you. If there's one person that's done it, it's not a fucking excuse.
Well, we have a lot of clients and members on the My Coach School who have inactive thyroids. Mm. And if you have an inactive thyroid, it is a little bit harder to lose weight for some people, but they have still managed to do it. So we do obviously want to say that we are taking the genetic considerations of people into consideration completely. And this is more so talking about the people who are obese, and that obesity turns into type 2 diabetes, which can be helped. It can definitely be helped.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I don't believe anyone is fat. You're not born fat. You're not categorized as fat. You are a human being that has accumulated some fat tissue over a period of time, probably for some poor lifestyle choices that you've made along the line. So you're not categorized or defined as fat. You have the power, you have the choice, you have the well, if you go and look for it, you have the motivation to make a change. You do not have to be categorized as obese for the rest of your life. There is something that you can do about it, which is the good thing.
Yeah, definitely. I had a very interesting message yesterday. I had a few interesting messages. I had one off a girl whose boyfriend is a doctor on a respiratory ward, and as I said in my story, he saw a lot of obese male patients between 40 and 50 years old with lifestyle factors of drinking and smoking. So if you are obese and you're also drinking and smoking, obviously your factors, these factors weaken the muscles necessary for breathing, and then obesity makes it more difficult to intubate and give the lungs a rest. Now, this couple actually unfortunately did catch coronavirus and they recovered from it, and her boyfriend's now working back in the hospital. Amazing, absolutely love that. But hearing other people's experiences really hit home with me yesterday, because you look at it and it's these people on the front line, they're in the NHS, they're working. I had so many messages from NHS healthcare workers saying, thank you for speaking up about this, because most of the people that we are seeing are obese, and it is an underlying condition that I really personally don't think the government have shared. They've kind of said like, oh, it's good to be healthy, and they've not really said what to do or how to approach it in the best way.
Yeah, this whole thing is about raising awareness of a very real threat. The government seems just swiftly acknowledged and swept under the carpet. So, and whose only advice really to the nation is moving less and that you're eating more. Well, yeah. we know that, because during isolation, people are going to be moving less. They're going to be eating more because they're sat right next to the fridge at an arm's length. They're going to be probably suffering from more mental health issues than ever before, because they have a lot to be stressed about.
Mm-hmm.
So I just telling people, oh, you can go outside and exercise once per day. Oh, cheers, Boris. It's fucking brilliant. It doesn't give people enough alternatives or educate people to really understand it and then take action with it.
Yeah. Now, with what Ben said there, and statistically, obviously, it's America and then it's the UK who have... That's correct me if I'm wrong. That's correct, isn't it?
Do you want me to quickly run over the stats?
Run over the stats quickly for me.
The stats in regards to obesity, and just looking at the recent studies that were done, and I think it was actually done by a group in Liverpool. is that has shown that obesity increases the likelihood of death from COVID-19 by 37%. 37.
That's a very large number.
Just some quick math for you. And that is in regard to obesity that you're talking about. Of course, the US is tip top of that pile of obesity because Donald Flump is at the helm.
He is.
But they also had the highest death toll. And then right underneath that is the UK with the highest obesity percentage of the population in Europe, alongside the highest death rate in Europe. So if we compare those numbers to countries like China and South Korea with the lowest death rates, less than 5% of adults in these countries are actually obese. I'll just leave that on there for you.
See, so that just speaks a thousand words to the fact that our lifestyle as a country is actually very poor, and I truly wish there was an easy way to convince people that being healthy is good, and it does not mean starving yourself of good food or running marathons or being stick thin or being skinny. And I had this conversation with my sister when I put it on Instagram yesterday. There was a hell of a lot of messages and a lot of replies, and no, I will never understand being obese. And some people replied to me being like, you'll never understand this. You don't know. You've got a six pack. You've got this. And they went a bit in on me. And I was like, no, I don't understand it from that perspective. I understand it from the perspective as a coach and wanting to help people. That is my job. I coach my clients. I help my clients lose weight and fat loss, whatever they're doing. And no, I will not be able to put myself in your shoes because I've never been there and I would never let myself get there. So I think it's quite difficult when it comes from a coach for people like me and Ben. It's almost like we're attacking people fat shaming, and we're not.
It's having, what you're talking about is having empathy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it 100%. And I just wanted to share that with you because this is coming from a place of mine and Ben's hearts. It truly is.
But I think just on that topic, this is why I think when some people look at our Instagrams or do certain workouts, they ask why it isn't exactly the same maybe on the micro school. It's because different people require different levels of coaching and different levels or standards of training to reach a goal. It's like when I am, by the way, as I've probably told you before, absolutely shit at swimming. So
you're not the best.
I'm not great. So if I want to get better at swimming, it's like me going and looking at Michael Phelps and going, well, I'm just going to copy what he does. Mm-hmm. But it's not like a logical step in regards to me getting better at swimming. So it's exactly the same for someone who is maybe a little bit overweight, maybe classed as obese, looking at some of your workouts, Lucy, and going, I'm just going to do what Lucy does. Yeah. I'm going to dive in the deep end. I'm going to do 6-7 workouts a week. I'm going to diet like this. I'm going to live this lifestyle. It's not going to work for them because you're jumping in the deep end before you can fucking paddle. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly the same for if I was to do it with swimming. So that is why there are logical steps in a scaling system in which you can start off and get results without completely crushing your motivation.
Yeah, no, I agree massively. And I think one of the topics yesterday that was brought up quite a lot was this movement of body positivity that we did want to touch on. And I always get advice from my sister as well when I speak about this, because it's really good to get someone else's perspective from an outsider who isn't in the fitness industry. And she said something that really resonated with me. She just said, body positivity isn't physical, it's mental. Anyone can have body positivity, and everybody, like, I wish they do, and I wish they could. Like, I've got body positivity, Ben has, you've got some people who promote things on Instagram that I don't always agree with, where they're just saying about like cellulite and they point things out all the time. I personally wouldn't do that. I think it's natural, it's fine, you don't need to point it out, all women basically have it. But you have some bodybuilders on the other end of the spectrum with 2% body fat who have no body positivity, and everyone will look at them and be like, oh my God, they look absolutely incredible. So body positivity is a mental thing. And it's not we're not coming at you saying, oh, if you're obese, you can't be body positive. It's not at all. If you're doing something about it, you're being active, you're getting a walk in a day and you are positive, fantastic. Like, literally, that is one of the best things you can be doing, is getting moving, you've taken on board and you're doing something about it.
Yeah, well, like we were talking about yesterday, even in regards to personally, I've been at a place where I've been in the best shape of my life, being diced as a bone, but I wasn't happy being there. I didn't have great body positivity, because it's like that element of the never-ending horizon again of, I get to a place, but then I'd always want to be better. So hats off to people who promote body positivity and are happy in a place with that. But what we're trying to get across is, at this point in time, it's dangerous to be obese. It's about being healthy. It's about being safe. And yet, be happy in yourself. But at the end of the day, obesity was always looked at something for a long time as something that will eventually kill you at some point further down the line as you age, or is going to have detrimental effects on your health at some point. But now it's being looked at as something that will and can kill you now.
Yeah.
Especially if you're obviously with the COVID-19 has gone, it can kill you now. And obviously, we're not trying to scaremonger people. That's the last thing we're trying to do. We're trying to push some education across the line. But it is a serious topic. And I never believe, and I've always said that criticism or negativity or punishment is ever going to help people achieve something or promote a new behavior, a new habit, because we know from just looking at the way that our prisons are that we have the highest reoffending rate. So prisons and punishment don't work. Even that's why they got rid of part of the reason why they got rid of the, what's it called in the States that they have? The death thing. Mm. We kill people by death.
Death row.
No, not death row, but they still have death as a punishment, don't they?
Yeah.
Lethal injection, whatever they use.
In certain states. And
that still doesn't stop people from committing crime. So I don't believe that punishment is the best way to go about it. I believe that educating people and telling people and making people aware and enlightening people will help people make better decisions, and encouraging people via positive reinforcement and giving people advice and putting people in the right direction is what's going to help people make that change. Because it's going to be scary for a lot of people as well.
Yeah, I think this whole... Well, I think COVID-19 is scary in general, and definitely at the start, and the fact it's... I don't think anyone thought it was going to go on for this long. Not in terms of the disease, but like in lockdown and isolation, obviously, there's been a lot of hit on the economy. And also in situations like this, when you actually look at it, with the current pandemic, it actually might contribute to an increase in obesity rates. As, for example, if you're someone who is obese and you go to like gym group classes, or you go to a class and you have like interventions or whatever it is, and we can't go to them at the moment, or people can't go to them, it's difficult for those people who might be in a place where they know they want to lose the weight and they're not sure where to turn to. And I think this is where it's quite hard within the fitness industry, because it is unbelievably saturated. I could not, like, how saturated is the fitness industry now with workouts, with I don't even know, random things. So I think it is more difficult for these people to look where to turn to, and that's why there is definitely a handful of fitness influencers who are incredible, who are looking out for these people and who do want to advise in the best way possible. And like we said at the start, your weight doesn't actually define you as a person, not at all. Like, I personally don't weigh myself, and I never have, and we don't have actually scales here at the moment because they're broken, but your weight does not determine your self-worth, but it's the fact that there's now a correlation between weight and health, which there always has been, but now weight, health and COVID, and it's just pushing that step forward to get people moving a little bit. And
yeah,
that's really all it is, just get your 10 minute walk in a day, you know, snack on some fruit, not the chalky bars, and it's just about being a bit more proactive and helping yourself in the best way possible for you and your future.
Yeah, I don't believe by any means it's easy, otherwise no one would be obese. Do you know what I mean? They just wouldn't. And it's something that obviously you need to take action with now. Taking action is the first thing, because being uncomfortable and feeling a bit of fear is what's going to help you. And at the end of the day, by getting up and doing something, I feel shit, can't be arsed, whatever. Mm-hmm. But what's the worst that's going to happen? You're probably going to feel better from it. So I think at the moment, what a lot of people do is, and I've been guilty of it myself, is they'll just say, I'll do it tomorrow. And I think at the moment, saying those three words are the most dangerous three words that anyone could say, especially if you are categorized as obese. I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because how many tomorrows potentially are you going to even have? I know that's horrible to think of, but again, it's kind of one of those things at the moment that it's a pressing issue. And it's from some of the... Again, it's only speculation from speaking to a few people yesterday, is that potentially, because we're looking at the people who are high risk, and if we look at the elderly, I think being elderly pushes chance of a risk of dying by like 39%, and obesity was 37%. So if there's only a 2% difference, how long is it going to be before people are classed as obese, fall into the high risk category, and how much would that then affect you and your lifestyle?
Yeah, so it's actually really interesting what you just said there. I had a message yesterday from somebody who is part of the clinical contact team that's due to roll out within the next week or two, and obesity is officially listed for the high risk category, which kind of sums up that podcast. Not finished, by the way, but it sums up what we just spoke about there in terms of that it is a high risk, and it is good that something like that the government are taking into consideration, because I think there's been a lot of talk about it and they've obviously tried to go about it in the best way. I think it is really good what they did at the start, like stay at home, protect the NHS, save lives, but this is more so like the next step that they need to introduce to share with the public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously the there's a difference between the way that the elderly and people who are obese are, I guess, responding to COVID-19, but with people who have categorized as obese, it's the excess body fat that obviously drives underlying health conditions, but it also increases chronic inflammation in the body. So what happens with COVID-19 with people who are classed as obese, it causes a exaggerated immune response that attacks the lungs. So people living with obesity, their immune system is being switched off pretty much due to obesity. It's being ambushed, and this is different from old people where their immune system has been through the ringer a few million times or whatever, because they've come of age and it doesn't have the fight in it anymore to fight COVID off. So that's obviously the difference when we're looking at the immune responses and the way that it affects the immune system is what helps us fight off the disease. And it was quite interesting because I was listening to something the other day, and it was in regards to exercise and doing something, and it was from Professor Donald O'Shea, who was talking about increasing activity, and apparently just a 5% increase in activity in your daily exercise could help your immune system function by 5%.
That is incredible. That's the first time I've heard that stat as well.
So that's just that thing of just do a little bit more each day. I'm not saying for people to all of a sudden become fucking Rambo and go run the streets in weighted vests like I do sometimes, because it's not It's not likely to happen. That what we're saying is just do something a little bit more. And again, we spoke about this in the podcast last week when we were looking at where you are now as position A and you're looking to get to position B and you're not happy till you get there. That's not, I don't think, an ideal way to look at it. Yeah, have goals. But when you look at things as early to lose 5 stone, it's not really going to happen in a space of time and it puts a lot of pressure on you. So if you look at yourself as a blank slate and you're just looking to make that extra percent or the extra 5% increase happen or work and get better, that's what makes those incremental changes add up.
Yeah, definitely. And with what Ben said there is actually really important. It's not, say, if you're just new to exercise and you want to get involved with it, we're not saying do 7 HIIT workouts a week, jump up and down, smash your body to the floor and you feel like you never want to exercise again. We're saying, you know, start with a 20-minute walk a day. Get your body moving, get out of the house a little bit. In the UK, we get to go out once a day and do outdoor exercise. So go for a walk and then maybe in 3 weeks' time, you might get yourself a resistance band and you might start increasing some resistance training into your routine. And you do it progressively, because what a lot of people end up doing and creating a workout routine and getting the habit of being a fit and healthy person is a habit. So it's a habit to create. So the more frequently you do it, the better it will be and the more it will stick with you. But if you did that habit where you made it really unattractive by looking at it like, oh my God, I need to do 5 or 6 workouts a week. They need to be like an hour long. I need to do HIIT workouts. I need to sweat because sweating's really good. It'll help me burn fat. No, no, no. Let's just pull yourself back. Let's do a 20-minute walk a day. Done, okay? It gets you started on your journey. And you have to remember, your chapter 1 is completely different to someone else's chapter 20. They're on chapter 20, you're on chapter 1, cool. You'll get to chapter 20 one day, but you're on chapter 1, so you're going to start with your 20-minute walk a day. You might do a bit of yoga. Like I said, I think it's really important not to kick yourself in the foot before you've even started.
Yeah, so what you're talking about is comparing yourself to other people. I think that is one of the worst things you can do, and we all do it. We do it in regard to... when you walk past someone else's house, like, oh, fucking hell, that's a nice house, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a nice car, that.
Or when you pull up with a light and you go, yeah, I'm in my 1970s Ford Escort or whatever, and he's driving past me in his
Lamborghini. Brand new,
well, it's going a bit over the top. We don't get that to maybe in his Ranger or something like that. But we all do it and we all make comparisons, and it's important to know that where you're currently at is just your starting point. But again, it's easy to say to someone who is overweight or who is obese, just stop eating or just exercise. Well, it's not that easy. It's like saying someone who's got lung cancer, stop smoking. It's not as easy as that. And there has to be certain steps in place and you have to really commit to something. But just in regards to that obesity note, and obviously the first amount of data that was published in the first research that was published was more so on people who were severely obese. So they were looking at people and categorizing people as severely obese who were, if you were female, it'd be around 16 stone. And for males, it'd be around 19 and a half stone. Who are people who are average height, of course. I'm not talking about hobbits or giants. And I think it's important to note those stuff in this, even if you don't fall into that category, it's still a spectrum. Mm-hmm. So, i.e., if you are under this weight or what could still be classed as maybe overweight or obese, that there is still potential risk factors to you. So obviously, i.e. the fitter and healthier you are, the better chance you're putting yourself in. And that spectrum moves up and down depending on where you're up to on the weight and obese and category to where and how severe the some of the likelihood of it may be if you did catch COVID-19 and getting rid of it and how it affects your immune system.
Yeah, and another factor there is, and we're not actually going to speak about this much just because we personally don't know enough about it to speak about, but it is evident that people who are obese or severely obese will lead to type 2 diabetes. So like I said at the start, type 1 is an autoimmune disease. So it's something that you essentially you live with the rest of your life. You do your pinpricks on your fingers and you have to control your carb and your sugar intake with your blood sugar. So those people are already doing something about it. They're controlling it every day. Now, type 2, however, will come about because of being overweight. And of course, you can do something about that. Now, type 2 diabetes, 80% is caused by obesity. 80%, that is scary. That is a scary stat. Now, you can do something about that. You can do the walks that I said before. You can slowly start to pop yourself into a calorie deficit, and you can implement these things slowly. You can get yourself a coach, you can get yourself additional help, whatever you need to do to get yourself back into a more healthy and active position, because like we said, we just want everybody to be safe.
Yeah. And from a selfish perspective, I suppose, that the likelihood is that you could take up a hospital bed of someone whose circumstances and symptoms are heightened due to their age and not because of their lifestyle choices, mm-hmm. which is a massive factor. And I know it's being selfish again, but obviously my grandparents have passed away, but if my grandparents are still here and a bed was taken up by someone who's severely obese because of their own lifestyle choices, I'd be pretty pissed off.
Yeah.
In a selfish way. So I think that's something to obviously think about as well.
But even before COVID came about, obesity took up the most beds in the NHS.
Yeah. And obesity and diabetes.
You look at that and you're like, okay, so those two things can be helped, but like an autoimmune disease or like a kidney issue or liver, whatever it is, they can't be helped sometimes. And people who need those hospital beds, and it's just quite sad, I think, that it's not changed since COVID has happened.
Yeah.
100%. I just think it's quite scary.
Yeah, and again, this is just due to education and people being more aware of stuff. And it's great people saying, it's great Boris saying, stay at home, stay alert, whatever the fucking slogan is now, and help flatten the curve as it keeps going on about. But we can't control it at the moment. But staying fit, healthy and active, which is more important than ever, we have those daily choices and we can control that. And
I'm wow, not powerful. I'm not, that got my heart.
I'm not talking about getting to a place where you masturbate about how many abs you have. I'm talking about getting yourself to a place where you're healthy and you're happy for you, for your family and for your future.
Oh, that really, that was actually really, no, it's so out. True. I really cry at everything. I just have a really high emotional level. But no, that is completely true. And it's about looking after yourself and wanting to do the best for you and give your body a bit of respect, mm-hmm. I think, as well. Oh, I keep hitting this new boom arm thing. I don't know what I'm doing. Complicated.
If you go onto our Instagrams today, because this will be posted today, you'll see the image of the new podcast setup that we've got up, and it just looks like
it's hilarious.
Someone's
it's amazing,
puked a load of wires up everywhere. But hopefully the quality is better for you guys who are listening. Yeah, and I think what we want to touch on now before we wrap up today's podcast is just some of our tips from a coaching perspective of what we would say you can implement straight away, something that isn't going to bust your balls and something mm-hmm. that you can commit to on a daily basis.
Yeah, so I think the first one is your food shopping. Now, there are a lot of stats that have come out where it's harder to buy organic and fresh food at the moment, obviously due to coronavirus, which does obviously make the situation harder. But I definitely think going to the supermarket with a shopping list of things you need to get will take away that impulse buying of the food that you probably don't want in your house if you are looking to lose a little bit more weight. So you have all your fresh fruit and veggies and proteins and carbs and things on your shopping list, things you need for the week or however often you go to the shops, and you just don't actually have like the three packets of cookies and the ice cream and things. You maybe have one pack of cookies instead of three, and if it's on the list, it's on the list. But I definitely think going into the supermarket with a shopping list is a very good idea just to stop those little impulse buys.
I'm glad you kind of summarized nutrition like that today, because I think for a lot of people, starting a diet or starting a new diet now is not the time to do it.
It's not.
Especially with so much pressure on people, a lot of issues with mental health cropping up probably more than so than ever because a lot of people are stressed and anxious. Starting a new diet now probably isn't the best time to do it. However, changing some of your daily choices, maybe changing your portion sizes, changing what you're eating in some degree or form, mm-hmm. saying no a little more often, all these little things add up. I think that's the thing, again, going back to that blackboard analogy, it's about making a mark each day and just putting another little mark on and see how many marks you can put on there to progressively push forward and help you. And obviously food shopping is one of them and one of the ways of doing it.
Yeah. Now, the second one is what I've already banged on about 10 times is walk a little bit more. And we would actually advise you do it first thing in the morning so it gets your day off to a really good start. This could be 10 minutes. It could be 20 minutes. It could be an hour. Like, you could just pop your headphones in, pop a podcast on, or listen to your favorite music and just go for a walk. The weather in the UK at the moment, by the way, it's just your weather update, is actually really nice today.
And I'd even go as far as say it's absolutely banging today.
It's beautiful. So get yourself out there, you know, get your steps up and just start enjoying the process of just going for a walk every morning and start your day off right.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest ones and one of the most underestimated ones is literally just going out for a stroll, especially at the moment when we don't have a lot of kit at home, we don't have a lot of space. Mm-hmm. Just going for a walk, and I've talked about this a lot of times in regards to when I'm in a weight session or whatever, I can burn 400 or 500 calories. If I go for an over-hour walk, I can burn that through a walk as well. And mentally, it can sometimes be a lot more satisfying and a lot less pressure on yourself. And the other thing that you can do, which I would massively, massively push people to do, is there's one to obviously make it enjoyable. So if you enjoy going for a walk, put a podcast on, whatever, or drag someone else with you. Like,
if you can get
someone else to go for a walk with you, if there's someone in your household, or when it opens up and we can go for walks with people, or if you can social distance the walk or whatever that is. Obviously, make sure that wherever you're listening to your government guidelines are followed, but keep accountable to someone else. And I think, again, this leads into if you want to do something more than a walk, and once you've started creating those initial habits and you go, I actually want to do a bit of a workout today, I want to do something a bit different, I want to resistance train or get a bit of a sweat on, then buy something or pay for something, because again, that's the biggest form of accountability. It's easy to go online, there's fucking hundreds of thousands of workouts on Instagram, on YouTube, on whatever. People, it doesn't matter, people aren't doing them because they're not committed to it. They'll just watch it and flick through them or double tap that, looks good, but they don't do it. If you pay for something, it keeps you accountable to doing it.
Yeah, 100% agree. You've literally just took the words out of my mouth what I was going to say. Yeah, no. So again, with the Instagram workouts, just to, with that one, now don't set something too hard. And we've already said this to you. And there's a lot of people who are doing Instagram lives every day. Don't feel like you have to do them every day if you feel like you physically can't. Don't do some of the workouts that you feel like you can't do or wouldn't suit you. You have to do what is right for you. Like I said at the very start, the fitness industry is extremely saturated. So you have to find something or someone that suits you as a person. And maybe you have no equipment at home, so you are doing more HIIT workouts. So do them accordingly, like give your joints a rest and things like that as well.
Just for the record, I fucking hate training at home.
Yes, Ben hates training at home and I actually really like it.
So yeah, just for anyone else out there who's feeling, oh, everyone loves training at home. No, I absolutely hate it. But again, I know what the benefits are from it and I know how I feel after doing it. So try to make it as fun as possible with some stuff.
But on that note, you've also started doing more running because you enjoy running, so you're doing something you enjoy.
This is the other thing. I was speaking to my mate, Danny, the other day, and he's been pushing towards a half marathon, I think, and generally he's terrible at running. But I do enjoy seeing people who are putting up like, oh, I've done a 5K today, or I did a 10K today, or even smaller things like I've done a 2.5K today. Great. But don't be fucking scared of putting your 5K walk up as well, because the more that you can spread that message that you're being active, it gets other people involved and it creates more of like that environment for everyone to start getting involved with stuff and sharing the times or sharing their walk or sharing the distance. And that is the absolutely brilliant thing, by the way, which I take great pride in, is our microschool Facebook group, because just every single day, even if I'm having a shit day personally, there's people in that group posting, just bang this workout, just done this walk, just done this run, just done this hike, just done this. I'm like, fuck, I love it. It's like something to thrive off. And I think if you surround yourself, it's like that old saying that you are the five people that you surround yourself with. If you surround yourself with that positivity and that environment where everyone's doing it and everyone's in on it, you're going to want to do it. So get creative with it, do it, share it. And again, if you tell other people about it, you're going to have to keep accountable to it. It's like if I say on Instagram, right, I'm going to do a 5K today. Probably most of the time, people are expecting me to put a story up not long after it.
About 5K.
piss and sweat and breathing out my arsehole. So again, keeping accountable is the biggest thing at the moment, I believe.
Yeah, and if you're a person who is scared to put your time up or whatever it is, a fun thing just to remind yourself, your only competition is yourself. You're not competing against anyone else. I always remember that when I was a swimmer, even though I was competing against other people, you were competing against yourself. So you improve your time yourself. You don't compare it to anyone else's. And lastly, we just want you to know that we're here to help. So we are here to help you in any way that you need. Obviously, if you found this podcast helpful, we really hope you did as well. And we hope it gives you more of an insight into what I was explaining yesterday on Instagram. And Ben's going to also do a video on it. Yeah. And we have our coaching school, the My Coach School, which has just hit 34,000 members, which is incredible. And the podcast is sponsored by the My Coach School. Yeah. So you can check that out. You can try our free calorie calculator, which I think for a lot of you would be really beneficial as well.
On that, like my advice would be, if you are looking at the calorie calculator, have a look at the calories. Don't put yourself into too much of an aggressive deficit. If you're not sure and you never looked at calories before, it's a good place to start. And just start by hitting 1 gram of protein per day. Don't worry about fat. Don't worry about carbs. Just get that right. And this is one of the reasons, I'm sure Lucy was just about to touch on it, is we've been running through May a 30-day free trial, because we just want to help people. We want to help people get into a routine. Yeah. We want to help people give people education and just help people be happy and fit and get back into routine, even if they don't have a lot of money to spare at the moment. There's a 30-day free trial on there. The link will be in my and Lucy's bios on Instagram. We'll try and pop it somewhere in the description of the podcast if we can. And you'll just need to use code VIP free trial to take advantage of that as well.
All in caps lock. So it's mycoachschool.com, VIP free trial in caps lock.
Yeah. And then of course, obviously me and Lucy both offer one-to-one coaching, which is at the moment, our next intake won't be until June. However,
oh my God, we're halfway through the year. In June we will be.
Oh my God.
Oh wow.
Well, we were actually supposed to be, sorry, I'm going off topic again. We were actually supposed to be in America at the moment. So it's pretty sad times. What would we be doing today? We'd be Discovery Cove, would we? Swimming around with dolphins and fish and stuff. But yeah, our June intake will be starting, and we'll be starting to put that out over the next week. If you'd like any information on working one-to-one with me and Lucy, then you can either drop us an email to
info@mycoachschool.com,
or you can feel free to drop us a direct message. And I think the important message today is that me and Lucy both believe that there isn't enough being done by the government to really help educate people when it comes to this and the issues that are caring from obesity to do with COVID-19. So I think the more people that you can share this podcast to, the more times you can put it on story, the more times you can send a link to people, the more that you tell people about it, the more that we can help spread this message and educate people.
And we obviously really appreciate all of you who are listening. And as Ben said, share it as much as possible. And if you could please leave a little review, we would really appreciate it. And again, a massive thank you for listening. And we will catch you in our next podcast.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.